Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with a thankful heart that we're able to gather together as a body of believers and worship you, learn from your word. May what we hear today help reflect Jesus Christ in our lives in the upcoming week and for the rest of our lives. May we all grow in your holy word. Be with Brother Bob as he brings forth your word, Lord. And we pray these things in your precious Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you. 416.
And also the next day, the 22nd, as well, preaching. So we'd be glad to have the Seaholds with us set up for those weeks. So that's the major announcement I have for right now that I'm aware of. And do you want to make the announcement about the tech meeting now?
I mentioned at Sunday school that we have our camp meeting at Maranatha Baptist Church down in Elkton. It starts tomorrow night, and it's every night, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock. We have a campground across the road from our church, an open-air tabernacle there, so that's where the meeting will be. And we have Pastor Jason McNeese is going to be our preacher for the week. He's pastor of Emerton Baptist Church in Bel Air, Maryland. Good preacher, good man. And then Monday night and Tuesday night, we have a family from Canada, the Thren family. I think there's mother and dad and 8 children, I believe. And they all play instruments and sing. A very, very good family. We've had them with us before. And then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night, our trio, Old Country Church trio, will be singing. And so we'd like to invite you to come down if you can. It's always a great time of blessing. We've been having these meetings ever since the early 1970s. And so Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock each night. And we have a flyer here that has the address. You can punch that into the GPS. or I can give you directions. But anyhow, we'd be glad to have you come.
That flyer I just showed you, there are a number of them on the back table there by the offering boxes. So if you need that information, you can certainly grab one. It's always a blessing to have the Hitchens come and as part of their ministry to us. There is special music involved too. So we're going to have a special at this time. That song never gets old, does it? All right. We won't take the time to go over it right now, but for those of you who weren't in Sunday school, we've gone on to a new memory verse for our adult Sunday school class. It's in the book of John, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. We're just starting on verse 30 today, but for those of you who aren't familiar with that passage, that's the passage where John gives the reason for why he wrote his book. He wanted everybody to know that Jesus is the Son of God and that through him we can have life. And so that's why, that passage there in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. All right, let's take our hymn books and turn to 524. 524, He Hideth My Soul.
Oh,
822.
Say it.
If you're able to stand, we do so also. 822.
Left for me. shall close in bed. When I rise to worlds unknown and behold beyond thy throne, what thou begest, let fall.
Like we're following a theme today. Sunday school, we had started to deal with the book of Jude. And we were talking about that first verse where he says we are preserved in Christ Jesus. And then all the songs, it seemed like, have sort of followed that theme. And for the message this morning, if you'll look at Psalm 37 and verse number 28. Psalm 37 and verse number 28. The Bible says here, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked should be cut off." We read that again. "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked should be cut off." Let's bow for the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the privilege we have to be here today. Thank you, Lord, for the time in Sunday school. And thank you now for this time we have once again in the morning service. Thank you for the songs, congregational singing, special music. Lord, thank you for the fellowship we've had thus far. And now for this time we have once again to look into your word. And Lord, I pray as we consider again the word today that you'd speak to our hearts. Pray the Holy Spirit might have his will and way in our hearts and lives today. And for what you do, Lord, we'll give you the thanks and the praise. In Jesus' matchless name and for his sake, we ask it. Amen. So I want to bring a message on the preservation of the saints. This says here, we are preserved forever. Now, you know, I know there are folks who believe you can lose your salvation. I worked with two Pentecostal preachers for 2 years before I got saved. And, you know, they lived good lives, but they never really talked to me about the Lord before I got saved. But after I got saved, well, all of a sudden, I mean, they're on my back. Do you speak in tongues yet? You've received the Holy Ghost yet? You've been baptized yet? And I'll tell you what it did do, though, because I had to face those guys every day at work. It made me dig. I had to dig in the scriptures to find out what the scriptures have to say. Not what man has to say, but what's God have to say. And, of course, one of the things that they believed was that you could lose your salvation. Well, we used to go round and round about that. And, you know, so I would ask them, well, what is it that caused you to lose your salvation? Well, sin. Well, what sin? I mean, we're talking about, when we talk about sin, we're talking about a big category, aren't we? There are sins of commission, right? Things that we do, but there are also sins of omission. Things we should do and we don't. The Bible says if that's the case, it's sin, right? And so that's a big category of sin. Well, what sin caused you to lose your salvation? Well, they didn't know. Well, the truth is you can't lose it. If you have been saved, then it is forever. That's what he says here. The Lord loveth judgment, forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. Just take God at his word. And of course, Jesus said in the New Testament, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. So if we are saved today, we are preserved in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm afraid some folks got pickled. No, we don't want to be pickled. We're preserved. Being preserved keeps you sweet, right? That keeps you sweet. And what a wonderful truth this is in the Word of God. Now, you know, some of those guys I remember, they would tell me, they said, well, if I believe what you believe, I just go out in the world and live it up. If I can't lose it. No, I don't think so. It doesn't work that way. When this truth really grips your heart, it makes you want to live right. Doesn't make you want to go out and live it up. By the way, if you want to go out and live it up, I think there's a problem there anyway. Right? Because when we got saved, God put a new nature within us. Old things passed away. All things become new. We're new creatures in Christ. This truth, the fact that we are preserved forever in Christ Jesus, eternally secure, I think makes you want to live right. Well, now, there are some things that I think, you know, as Christians, we should be afraid of. Well, not to be afraid of losing our salvation, but there are some things that we should be afraid of. For instance, the fact that we possess an old wicked nature. Now, based on the Word, I'm convinced you can't lose your salvation, but you can sure lose out on God's blessings, can't you? Yeah. And if you've been saved in a length of time, you know some folks that maybe used to be in church and they used to serve God and they used to do this and used to do that, but they don't anymore because something happened in their life. And they're not in church anymore and they're not serving God anymore. Well, the truth is there's a part of us that does not want to go to church, right? There's a part of us that does not want to serve God, does not want to read the Bible, does not want to be a witness. And it's that old rotten nature that we were born with. In a lot of ways, I kind of wish the Nazarene folks were right. You know, because they say you can get to a place in your life where the old nature is done away with. Where you can get that second blessing, you know, and your old nature is eradicated and you'll never sin anymore. Boy, kind of wish that was true, but here's the problem. Excuse my English. It ain't so. It just ain't so. No, and the Apostle Paul, you read Romans chapter 7, you know, what he had to say. He was still having a problem with it. And not only that, but the Apostle John said this, if you look in 1 John chapter number 1, and John, at the time he was writing this, you know, we estimate was maybe possibly even into his 90s, certainly in his late 80s. But he said this in 1 John 1:8. He said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. John, you mean you're including yourself in that? Yes, we. So you mean you're at the place now in your 80s or 90s, whatever, and you still have a problem with sin? That's what he's saying. Yeah, the old sin nature is there. And as long as it's there, it's going to cause us trouble. Proverbs 4, verse 28? Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Yeah, yeah. That heart of ours and that old nature will lead us astray. And so we have to be aware of that, don't we? And so although we can't lose our salvation, we recognize that we have an old nature that can cause us trouble in our lives. Secondly, it ought to cause us to be afraid that we can lose the power of God in our lives. We can lose his power, can't we? Now, you know, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And the very same power that was unleashed in the creation we can have in our lives as Christians. God wants us to live a life that is above the things of this world. And by the way, the Christian life is a supernatural life, isn't it? You know, I remember before I got saved at the age of 23, I used to think this way, you know, I could never live the Christian life. And the truth is, that's so, isn't it? As now, you can't live it in yourself, can you? The only way we can live the Christian life is by God's power. And that means we submit to Him and allow Him to control our lives. Now, as long as we submit to Him, as we're filled with the Spirit of God, we'll live the Christian life. And it's a supernatural life. But we can't do it apart from Him, can we? We can never live that life apart from Him. And so we can lose the power of God in our lives. And I've said this before, that our relationship to Christ is so strong, according to the scriptures, our relationship is so strong, nothing can ever end it. But our fellowship with Christ is so fragile that the least sin can break that. It doesn't take much to get out of fellowship, does it? It doesn't. And, we're bombarded with things from the world out there. We're bombarded by things that Satan throws at us. We're bombarded by our own old nature. And so sin creeps in, and if we don't deal with it, we get out of fellowship. And so, we can lose the power of God in our lives. That ought to cause us to fear. And then also, we can step out of God's will. As Christians, we can step out of God's will. Now, I'm convinced of this, that God has a will for every one of us. Something that He wants us to do. And when we're in that place where we're supposed to be, and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're going to be blessed. We're going to be used of the Lord. God's going to be glorified. Spiritual fruit will abound if we're in that place. Now, I think God has a place for us to be geographically. Yeah, I think He has a place for us to be geographically. It's not really up to me to decide, where I'm going to live and what I'm going to do. It's up to God. Does He ever change our place geographically? Yeah, sometimes He does. Yes, He does. My wife and I were in Elkton, Maryland when we got saved. When God took us to Bible college, He took us 2,500 miles away from home. But we were in the place of His appointment, 2,500 miles away from home, at least for that time. And then later, we were back in Elkton. We were on the staff of the church down there, Maranatha Baptist Church. That was His will for us at that time. So He has a place in mind for us geographically. I think He has a place in mind when it comes to a church. We've all seen that sign, attend a church of your choice. No. Attend a church of God's choice. Let Him make the choice. Because He has a place in mind for us. A place where we can grow. A place where we can give of ourselves, give of our talents, give of our time. And, God will bless us in that place. And then He has something maybe special for us that He would like us to be involved in, some kind of a ministry. Maybe teaching Sunday school. It may be singing in a choir, if you have a choir. Maybe singing special music. Maybe playing an instrument. It may be preaching. Maybe God would call some men to preach. But there's something, I believe, that He would have all of us to do. And the Apostle Paul, when he first got saved there on the Damascus Road, he asked that question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I'm afraid some folks are afraid to ask that question because He might tell you. But this much I can say, whatever He has for us to do, it's the best thing you could ever come up with. You can never lose by doing what God wants you to do. You can't. Regardless of what it is. Now, the world may look at you and they may, they may think, that you're a loser, but not in reality. A friend of mine was teaching in a Christian school, and his dad was not a Christian. And I remember he told me, he said, my dad's always on my back. My dad's always asking me, when are you going to make something of yourself? When are you going to quit wasting your life in that Christian school? Well, look, the world doesn't understand. Don't expect the world to understand God's call, you know, on your life for a ministry like that. They're not going to understand. And they're going to think we're wasting our life. I guarantee you there are people, unsaved people, maybe family, maybe friends, that think you're nuts for being here in church this morning. That you're wasting your time. Why do you go to that church, sing songs, and listen to a message? The world doesn't understand. You know, to them, the preaching of the cross is what? Foolishness, the Bible says. That's exactly what they think. They think we're wasting our time. Well, they're not going to understand. But the greatest thing that we can do is the will of God for our lives, whatever it is. Whatever it is. But we can step out of that. Yeah, you can step out of the will of God. Take control of your own life. And usually when that happens, we make a mess of things, don't we? Well, what else? We can lose our testimony. One of the greatest things we possess as a Christian, apart from our salvation, is our testimony. You know, the world knows all of us here. And you know, there's somebody out there that we have an influence on. All of us have a sphere of influence, don't we? Family members, friends, people we work with, people you see at the grocery store, people you see at the gas station or different places. All of us have a sphere of influence. And there's somebody that you have an influence on that maybe somebody else won't have because you don't know them. But God wants to use us as individuals in that sphere of influence, doesn't he? And very possibly, you know, we can see some folks saved as a result of the influence that we have and the testimony that we have. You know, a personal testimony is a very powerful thing. To be able to say, I know this is true because it happened to me, that carries a lot of weight. Sometimes folks say, well, I don't know that much about the Bible to be a witness. Well, you know what happened to you, right? Just tell what happened to you. Somebody say, you tell what you know, God will give you more to tell. And, I think of the man that was born blind. And of course, they were putting him on the spot, trying to get him to say Jesus was an imposter and so on. And this man's a sinner. And he said, well, one thing I know, I used to be blind, but now I see. That's pretty hard to defeat, isn't it? Everybody knew he had been blind, and they all knew he had also received his sight. That was the power of God at work. The power of God is at work in our lives when we're saved. And we've got a personal testimony that is very powerful. But you know what? You can lose it, can't you? You can lose your testimony. Well, you can be chastened for disobedience. That happens too. And disobedience, God loves us, and that's why he chastens us. Just as our parents chastened us, and just as you as parents chasten your kids. It's not because you got it in for them, it's because you love them, right? Now, I know when it's happening, this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. Yeah, I know. But it's for our good and for God's glory. And according to what we're told in the book of Hebrews, that if we're saved, we're going to be chastened of God, aren't we? When we get out of sorts. Chastening takes all kinds of forms. It's not all the same. And God knows exactly where to deal with us, doesn't he? He knows exactly where to put the pressure. But again, he does it for our good and for God's glory. But we can be chastened. We're talking about things now that we can, that should make us afraid as Christians. We're not afraid of losing our salvation, but these are some things that should scare us. We can build works out of wood, hay, and stubble. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In fact, let's turn over there a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. This is talking about the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment for salvation. Everybody that's at the judgment seat of Christ is a saved person. And it's not a judgment for sin. All of our sin was judged on the cross. All judged and paid for on the cross. So, this judgment is not a judgment for sin. Verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. Says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, okay, building on the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hair, stubble. Every man's work should be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. This is not a judgment for salvation, a judgment for our service. What have we done since we've been saved? That's what this judgment is about. A judgment for our works as a Christian. Okay? Now, he said, if any man build upon the foundation, notice the gold, the silver, the precious stones, the wood, hay, and the stubble. The difference between these two, the gold, the silver, and the precious stones, those things will survive the fire, won't they? The wood, hay, and stubble is going to be burned up. Say, well, what do they represent? The gold, the silver, and the precious stones, I think, represents those things we've done for the glory of God through the power of God. Things we have done for Him. Those things will survive the fire. What about the wood, hay, and the stubble? That's what we've done for us. Things we've done to please us, to please ourselves. And those things are going to burn up, aren't they? But you know this, every single day that we live, we are building something. Right? We're building something. There's an old song about working on a building. Yeah, we're working on a building. Every day we're adding something to the building. The question is, what are we building with? And notice when he says that the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, not how much it is, but what sort it, what's the quality of it. So we can be building with gold, silver, and precious stones. Those things we're doing for the glory of God, doing in the power of God. Those things we're doing to please God. That's gold, silver, and precious stones. And those things will survive the fire. The wood, hay, and the stubble is going to burn up. You know, isn't it sad to see something burn up? You know, a person can build that beautiful house, but made out of wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to burn up, isn't it? But it says that if any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself should be saved, yet so as by fire. So, we can build works out of wood, hay, and stubble. I remember seeing a sign a friend of mine had on his wall that said, I don't know if I could say this exactly, but the gist of it was this. There's no point in doing something well that shouldn't be doing at all. There's no point in doing something well that you shouldn't be doing at all. Well, this ought to scare us too. We can cause other people to stumble, can't we? I don't want to do that. I don't want to put a stumbling block in front of somebody. I'd rather be a stepping stone if I had to. Nobody wants to be stepped on, but I'd rather be a stepping stone than a stumbling block. But it's possible as a Christian to be a stumbling block, isn't it? And it's possible that we can miss God's best for our lives. God has something for us, I believe, which is His best for every Christian. But we can miss that. Someone said that the better thing sometimes is the enemy of the best. Reminds me, D.L. Moody one time told this story. His little daughter had been after him for a particular doll that was on display in one of the department stores in Chicago. And she really wanted that doll. And so one day they happened to be going past his other store, and there was another doll in the window, which wasn't quite as nice as the other one, but oh boy, she was just fascinated. "Daddy, Daddy, this is what I want." And he said, "Well, what about that other one?" "Oh, no, no, no. I want this one right here." He said, "Now, if I get you this one, you can't change your mind later and get this other one." "I want this one." Well, he got her that one. She settled for less than the best. You know, sometimes we can do that, can't we? We can settle for less than the best. God has something in mind for us, and it's His best. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is for you, but there's something that He has for us that is His best. But if we're not careful, we can miss it, can't we? I have never met anybody who has told me, "I'm sorry I did God's will." Have you ever met anybody like that? "I really wish I hadn't done God's will." Never met anybody like that. But I've sure met a lot of folks who said, "I wish I had done God's will. I really wish I had." But you know, can't unscramble scrambled eggs, can you? Can't go back a lot of times. But what we can do is go on from here. Whatever time we have left, give Him our best. So, anyhow, these are some things that we should be afraid of, but we ought not to be afraid of losing our salvation, because He said we're preserved in Christ Jesus. Now, we are secure or preserved in the Lord Jesus Christ for the following reasons. Number one, because of the proclamation of the Word. We have the proclamation of the Word. Go back to that verse in Jude. It says, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." Again, same verse here in, same thought here in Psalm 37:28, preserved in Jesus Christ. So, because of the proclamation of the Word. You know, God cannot lie, can He? If He could lie, He wouldn't be God. And so if God says something in His Word, you can take that to the bank. And you can rely on it. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." You say, "Well, sometimes I don't feel like I'm saved." Anybody feel like that? Hey, lots of times. Yeah, if you've been saved a length of time, I guarantee you there have been times you didn't feel like you were saved. But by the way, our salvation doesn't rest on how we feel, does it? I mean, look, our feelings are changeable as the wind. I mean, some days we feel good and other days we feel rotten. My salvation doesn't rest on how I feel. It rests on the promise of God's Word. And that can never change. That is a bedrock assurance. So, we're secure because of the proclamation of His Word. We're secure, secondly, because of the promise of the Savior. Look at John chapter 6. John chapter number 6. And verse number 39, John chapter 6, verse number 39. Well, let's back up and let's look at verse 37. John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So if that's the case, he's not going to cast you out. You can't lose it, can you? For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose. What's that say?
Nothing.
Nothing. But should raise it up again at the last day. Because of the promise of the Savior. He gave his word here. If we can't take him at his word, then we're in trouble, aren't we? Now, we've got the proclamation of the word. We've got the promise of the Savior. But then also, we've got something else. We've got the perfection of the atonement. Perfection of the atonement. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. And verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. The perfection of the atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. His atoning death on the cross of Calvary. It was his blood that was shed. It's the blood that makes the atonement for the soul, right? Leviticus 17:11. Life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Remember in the Old Testament when the Egyptians were in Egypt and God gave them the message that the death angel was coming through, and what they were to do, they were to kill that sacrifice, catch the blood in a basin, take hyssop, smear that blood on the doorpost and the lintels of their houses, remember? And he said, when the death angel comes through, he said, when I see what? The blood, I will pass over you. He didn't say, when I see how good a person you are, how nice a person you are, how successful you are, how smart you are, how religious you are. No, he said, I'm looking for one thing. I'm looking for the blood. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Same thing's true today. Do we have the blood of Christ applied to us? Because if we do, we're secure. If we don't, we're in trouble, aren't we? And we need to be saved. So, talking about preservation now, because of the perfection of the atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another one. Because of the position that we have in Christ. We're members of his body. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We are members, according to what the scripture says here, members of his body. Part of his body. First Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 12, it says, for as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. But for the body is not one member, but many. Then he goes on to describe the body of Christ, and he compares it to the human body. just as the members described there are part of the human body, so the members of the body of Christ are part of one body. Now, our body, our physical body, is an organism, isn't it? It's not an organization. An organization has little separate, you know, parts that could survive apart from the body. But an organism, all the members have to be part of the body to survive, right? We are part of the body of Christ. Suppose you cut off a hand. That doesn't make any sense. God is not going to be cutting off his hand. Not going to be cutting off a finger. No. Here's Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish." God's not going to be losing anything in the body. Not going to lose any fingers, not going to lose any hands, not going to lose any toes. No, he's able to present it to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. So we're preserved in Christ because of the position that we have as members of his body. Then also this, because of the power of God. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Notice this now. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Kept by his power. I'm not kept. If I was kept by my power, I'd be in trouble. No, I'm glad I don't have to depend on my power. It's his power. Kept by the power of God. Well, how about this one? Because of the priestly work of the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 7:25. "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Right now, our Lord Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. That's what he's doing, according to Scripture. Say, why do I need an intercessor? Because we're still sinners. Because we still have a sinful nature, right? We need somebody at the right hand of God there to make intercession for us. And that's exactly what our Lord is doing right now. Look at Revelation, chapter number 12. Revelation, chapter number 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 said, "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down." That's what Satan is doing right now. He's accusing us. "Which accused them before our God day and night." That's illustrated in the book of Job, isn't it? His accusations. Well, that's what he's doing. Bringing accusation with us. But it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives to the death. So although Satan's accusing us, we have one who's there to represent us before the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is there as our intercessor to make intercession on our behalf. Then here's the last one. We're talking about now our reasons that we're preserved because of the pledge of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, said that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, and whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, you notice this, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. We're sealed with the Spirit of God. God's put His seal on us, not to be open until the day of redemption. So that is a guarantee of our security in Jesus Christ. So these are all some reasons why we can be assured that we have security. Again, these things, because of the proclamation of the Word, the promise of the Savior, perfection of the atonement, the position we have in Christ, the priestly work of Christ, and the pledge of the Holy Spirit. And so because of all these things, we have security in Christ. Let me close with this one. One day a soldier entered the office of President Abraham Lincoln. He sat down and he waited. About 50 others were also waiting to see the president. Presently, a little boy came in and looked around. He immediately saw the sailor, and he noticed that he had one empty sleeve. The boy went over to the soldier and began to talk to him. The soldier told the boy some interesting war stories. Then the boy asked him what he wanted, and the soldier said he wanted to see the president. The boy replied, "Well, the president is my father. Do you want to see my father? I'll get you in." And off he ran. Soon, a secretary came and notified all those waiting that the president could see no more visitors that day. All the people except the soldier left. The secretary told him that it was useless to wait. But then the soldier said, "Well, the president's son was here. He's going to ask his father if I may come in." This secretary said, "Well, you will get in to see the president, all right, if his son's pleading for you. You wait, you'll get in. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, is at the right hand of God the Father, pleading for us, for He is our intercessor." And just as the boy got the soldier in to see the president, our Lord Jesus is there to represent us before the throne of our Heavenly Father. We have security in Jesus Christ. Absolute security preserved in Christ Jesus. Let's bow for closing prayer. And just before we pray, maybe God's spoken to your heart. Maybe there's a need in your life. You say, "Brother Bob, I'm a Christian, but I have a need, and I wish you'd remember me in prayer." If that's so, would you slip up your hand? Let us pray for you. I'd like to remember you. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Someone else this morning. "I'm a Christian, but I need prayer today. Please pray for me." Yes, yes, thank you. Yes, yes, thank you very much. Yes, please pray for me. I'm a Christian, but I need prayer. Maybe you're here today and maybe you've never been saved. If that's so, that's the greatest need that anybody has. And we'd like to remember you. If you slip up your hand, we don't want to embarrass you, but we'd like to pray for you. If you need to trust Jesus as your Savior. Is there one? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who takes it and applies it to our hearts. Lord, I do pray for all these who raise their hands. You know what their need is. You know exactly how to meet each need. Lord, I just pray for this church. I pray again for the man that you would have to be their pastor. Lord, that you'd raise him up. Lord, we know it's hard to wait, but we want your perfect will, and so we pray that you'd raise up your man in your time. Help us, I pray, to look into thee as the author and the finisher of our faith. And I pray that you'd have your way in our lives now as we go from this place today. Have your will and way, we pray, in this invitation now in Jesus' matchless name. And for his sake we ask it. Amen.
Let's take our hymn books and turn to 139.
You mentioned this in the message. I think it's appropriate that we sing it. 139.
Christ our Redeemer, God. such good teaching that we had this morning. Might it work in our hearts and that we would have our lives changed by it and go closer to you and have that zeal of love.
Amen.